Amen.
Thank you very much, Dee. God bless you. It's been a long time since we heard this voice. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Beloved, if you are here and you have not, you've not intentionally gone about sharing the link or inviting someone, I want you to please do. Hallelujah. Quickly.
Amen.
Tonight, I want you to give me your attention once again, and the issue or the whole sermon about souls is one of those that where we've come to, it's not even in about the excitement of the message, you know, where after you finish preaching, you ask a church member, what did the pastor say? And he or she goes like, it is powerful. It is powerful is not enough. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's powerful is not enough. I want a place where a person's soul would be able to prompt them in the natural so that they are sensitive. Amen. We've lived so much in the realm of the flesh to the point that we don't even hear when our soul cries. We don't, unless something hurt us far beyond the emotions that we carry in the flesh, and then we feel like it's hit us. So that is our common association, because the enemy uses that weakness against us. So a lot of us are able to easily seal bitterness within our heart than bury the good deeds of others in their heart. So it is said that people easily forget, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
But quicker. Have you realized that people don't forget offenses quicker? But they forget good deeds quicker. Why? Because good things lives in the depth of the soul. But the enemy uses the weakness of the flesh to allow us, it gives us, it's like the way you would put a hook into the sea. So though the bitterness has entered our souls, or maybe has entered within us, he doesn't just leave it as something that could dissipate or go away by the word of God. He put a hook to it through the word of God. The flesh. He put a hook to it. And so, because then we are very in tune with our carnality, our flesh. And whenever we say carnality, we are not talking about, people's mind go to sex and those that, no, please. There are people that do not practice those lifestyles, but they are very carnal than those who even may have done those things. Their hearts are always raging for bitterness, offenses, anger, and all those kind of things. But I'm saying something here, that we've lived so much in our flesh, in the feelings of our flesh, that we can't tell ourselves what our souls truly want. We can't. And the only thing we can remember or can tell when the soul is at it is when we are in bitterness or pain or whatever it is. That we can dig deep into our soul and bring it, but we cannot think of anything good. But Bible explicitly commands us that if there is anything worthy of thinking about, reasoning around, pondering on, we should think on these things. Things that are pure. And it begins to name a lot of things, and they are all good. He doesn't say anything negative in them. Do you think that God doesn't know that bad things happen to us? He knows that it does. But dwelling on them will not help us, because your soul needs the room to fight. Tonight, I want to talk about the fighting soul. Hallelujah. I want to speak about the fighting soul. Before I do that, I want dear Pastor Lord to read a scripture to us from Matthew 26. 37 to 39. Please read for me. Pastor Lord, are you there?
Matthew.
Yes, please.
Chapter 26. Yes, Apostle, I'm here.
There is a delay with us.
Matthew chapter 26. Please, my internet is playing up. Is it okay? Can I be heard?
Loud and clear.
Yes, you can.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 to verse number 39. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be grieved and greatly distressed. 38. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved, so that I am almost dying of sorrow. Stay here and stay awake and keep watch with me. And after going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will. Hallelujah.
Amen. Before I talk about this scripture, I want you to watch a video. Please pay attention to the video in the background. Just watch it. I want to give you a picture. I want to give you a picture for you to see something briefly. Take the time and watch this. You probably might have seen it, but watch this. I hope you can see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Boys are there. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Mary, you were saying you can't hear anything. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I saw the message that you can't hear anything. Okay. So if you look at the scripture, Pastor Lord read, you realize that I just want you guys to think in the background. This was Jesus in a place of agony. And this is when he was, in fact, he actually told his disciples that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful to the point of death. He didn't say that death, he didn't say death is actually killing him. He says that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful to the point of death. What that tells me is that sorrow can kill you. That is one. Two, deep form of sorrowfulness can cause you to abandon your God-given assignment. Now, I am bringing a narrative through different means for you to understand that a lot of you or a lot of us have given up on our God-given assignment because of certain emotional burden that came with it. And this is not evil. Listen carefully to me. I'm not speaking in the evil dimension of the sorrow that came upon you. Jesus was going to fulfill a divine assignment, but still it came with weight of sorrow that he couldn't bear. It was the first time that as a God who is a perfect spirit was allowed to carry a soul that was a subject of death. Listen carefully to me. I said it was the first time that as a perfect God who was allowed to carry a soul that was a subject of death. Now, when we still keep on talking about soul, a lot of people still have a little bit of confusion with it in the background because they seem not to understand what is a soul and what is spirit. For clarity's sake, so I don't digress. You know, when Jesus decided to take upon himself the form of a man, I want to ask us one question on this platform. Was he a spirit? Was he a soul? Was he a body? What was he? Maybe I don't expect you to answer this question, but whatever the answer would be, you would realize that according to the book of Hebrews, Jesus took upon himself a nature that was not consistent with his nature as God. The nature of man that he took was different from the nature he pre-existed as a God. Understand this. Bible says that he said that because the children, which is us, that needs redemption, were of the type flesh and blood, he too took upon himself that nature so that he could be a subject of death. But he has always existed as the eternal spirit that cannot be separated or cannot be broken. But taking upon yourself the form of the being called man, we need three compositions that are, let's say, intrinsic of each other. They belong to each other. You need a body, you need a spirit, and you need another type spirit called soul. You need another type spirit called soul. The term spirit means that it's unseen. That is just the meaning. But in the realm of the spirit, thank you, Pastor Lord, Philippians 2:7. But in the term that we use called spirit, we have types of spirit. It's like I was giving somebody this example. It's like saying what are the types of liquid soap that we have? Ariel and what? Fair, isn't it? What are the types of soap? But it is all liquid soap, but we have different type. So when it comes to the unseen representation of identity of types of beings that are created, man carries something that we call a soul. It is unseen. It is a spirit. It identifies the being of the man and who he is. It carries intellect. In fact, if a man has a spirit, it's not enough. Sorry. If a man has a soul, it's not enough. That soul must have the ability to live. And the ability of that soul is dependent on two things. It's either the life of that soul is sustained in the body by the life that is in the blood. And the life that is in the blood, if it is not the eternal life of the Spirit of God living in that blood, then it is what we call breath. Somebody say breath.
Breath.
Yes, it is breath that lives in the blood, and it is breath that sustains the soul of that man whilst he's in the body. So any man whose only life sustenance is dependent on breath, in the sight of God, that person is a living dead. Because it's a temporal life, and your type kind of life is not different from that of animal. That is why Ecclesiastes will say that the fate of man is just like animal. They all have the same word. I want you to answer. They all have the same word. You're not reading your Bibles. They all have the same. The life of the man and the life of the animal, their fate is the same because they all have the same. I want you to answer. What does the Bible say they all have?
Blood.
No. At least Google should do you a favor. Thank you, Priscilla. They all have the same breath, oh, but they don't have the same soul and spirit. So understand this. The animals and the man all have the same breath, but the difference between them is that the soul of a man can have another type of life, which is sustained by the spirit that God gives that man. And so the Bible says that the first Adam was a living soul, a soul that was living because God has empowered that soul to live. The second man, the second Adam, which was Christ, was a life-giving spirit. So this is how God, Jesus came. Jesus came taking upon himself the form and the shape and the type of a man, having a soul, but his spirit was that of the one that is a life-giving spirit. It wasn't just a life that gives one life. Let me put it this way, that it's like this. It's like Jesus came with a type of, let's say, if you are trying to put it in the battery form, Jesus came with a type of battery that is able to empower his life eternally. That battery never dies, if in simple terms you understand. But Adam was one battery. If it dies, it dies. It's gone forever. Okay? But Christ came with a type of life that is eternal. Adam was born with a type of life that was not eternal. And I've repeated this thing here on this platform, that Adam was not born immortal. If Adam was born immortal, the relevance of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was not needed. And we understand that if Adam was born immortal, he couldn't have died. Immortality cannot be broken. It's a state. It can't be broken. Hallelujah. So listen carefully and understand this, that when we are speaking about the soul of a man, we are talking of a type of spirit that identifies a man. But then what happens is that when the man's soul is regenerated, God gives that soul his spirit that is able to give life to that soul eternally. So God has given his spirit to us to live in us, so that our souls will be sealed, will be kept and prepared eternally for God.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
1 John 4:13, you don't have to go there. It says, this is how we know that we live in him and he lives in us. He has given us of his spirit. So when we became born again, what happened was that we had a regenerated soul that was given a new spirit. And this is why we say the man is a new being. We're given a new spirit because the old spirit that was of the nature of Adam had died because it was mortal. It was a mortal spirit. It has died. And it couldn't give sustenance of life to the soul again. So the soul was living, but it was a living type of death. It didn't have any kind of life. You know, breath is temporal. Even breath is temporal to this world. Breath is temporal. It's very atmospheric and location based. In fact, even on earth, there are certain heights that if you attain, you won't have oxygen to breathe anymore. Hallelujah. So breath is very, breath is very temporal. If you leave this earth and you are not wearing a spacesuit and you are not carrying oxygen, you won't have the ability to sustain your life, which is breath. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So these two types of life we have, but this is the unique thing about the soul of a man. The soul of a man that has the Spirit of God has eternal life and he lives forever. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus' soul was exceedingly sorrowful, the man was beginning to think twice about his God-given assignment. This is very strange. This is very strange. This is very strange. He was very sorrowful to the point of death. This is very strange. If you are here and you think you have any God-given assignment and destiny, one of the lies we've been told, or maybe you might have heard, is that as long as that thing is of God, it will work out and it is taken on a silver platter. Please, it's one of the greatest lies from the pit of hell. In fact, before I touched on this subject, I was having a conversation in the background about it. Look, anything God gives to humanity that his soul will bear and work with is never taken on a silver platter. It is a work that the soul needs to fight with. So Jesus was very sensitive to his soul. The question I want to ask you is that some people only know of discernment of spirit in the dimension of discerning witches, seeing other people's things. But the question I want you to ask, can your soul discern what is ahead of him? Can your soul discern that what the hardship and the trouble that you are going through, it is as a result of the greater glory that is ahead of you? Can your soul discern that? Don't abolish this task that you have been given. It carries a divine purpose. Remember that he wasn't even speaking of the weakness that was in his flesh. In fact, a lot of people would say that, I've heard a lot of people say that Jesus was then in touch with his humanity, and because of that, he decided that let the cup pass by him because his humanity was whatever it is. But the Bible tells us that the domain in which Jesus was overly burdened was in his soul. Again, I repeat, the domain in which Christ was overly burdened was in his soul. You know, the burden of what he was going to do, or the burden of anticipated death, had already hit his soul to the point that he had become overly burdened and so sorrowful that his body was literally shutting down to death. But I'm here to tell you that there is something about the soul that is amazing. Our time is almost up because of how we took service today, but I like it. But then spare me just a few minutes of your time. There is something about your soul. God says that the enemy can destroy your body, but he says he cannot destroy your soul. So why is it that that very one thing, he didn't even say that Satan cannot destroy the Spirit of God. He didn't even say that. He says that do not be afraid of the one that can touch the body but cannot touch the soul. Look, he didn't make any exclusion. He didn't make exclusion of whether it is the believer or unbeliever. He was saying it in general to them. So why is it that that very thing that lives in you, that you have influence over you, that Satan cannot destroy? Satan and the entire host of darkness cannot destroy. You don't want to come to a place of being intelligent about how your soul functions. You don't want to come to a place to know how your soul functions so that you would be strong in your soul and overcome everything that the enemy wants to do against the body. Why? Why were we left to be so ignorant about our soul? So in Gethsemane, when Jesus actually went the third time and was praying, in the account of Luke, that's 22:43, he went on his knees, and as he was praying, the Bible says that an angel came down from heaven and strengthened him. Where did Christ need this strength? Where did Christ need the strength? He needed the strength in his soul. He needed the strength in his soul so that he can fight. Because, listen, when he received the strength from the angel, his body did not resist him.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a lot of us want to think. We would want to strengthen our body so that our soul can persevere. It's never true. You need a fighting soul. A lot of people have broken down, not only in the place of dying, but a lot of people let go their guard, where they were supposed to retain and resist and hold on whatever emotional turmoil that was going on in their soul, have a composure towards whatever they have to achieve, but they gave up. They broke out, they gave up. They caused the cup to pass over. They insulted, they broke ranks, they abolished the team, they left the team, they left the work, they gave up on the work. They told themselves, I can't do it again, because their friends ridiculed them. They heard voices telling them, you can't do it again. They heard people laughing at them, you can't do it. Who are you? Who did it? Who did that? A lot of silly things they heard. Because of that, they abolished it. Out of envy and jealousy, they took decisions that actually destroyed their very God-given purpose. I am telling you that to have sorrow in your soul is not only because of evil. You can be on an assignment that is so divine, but yet still your soul could be burdened with sorrow. Your soul could be burdened with the issue of lack. Is there anybody here who feel like their soul is burdened with lack? Because at this right moment in time, they are not poor, but the issue of poverty is we can use that to define their state. Because money don't day, but they don't have the money. Look, when they came to take Jesus away, and Peter cut an ear, the statement Jesus made is that he has legions of angels at his disposal. So it meant that when Jesus was crying about the sorrowfulness of his soul, it was not as if he didn't have defense to his disposal. He did. So when I'm speaking about poverty here, it's not like you are not rich, but there is a time season that your soul needs to fight and break beyond. At this moment in time, the solution to what you are going through is not money. And I know that for you, sorry to say that, as obscure as our vision and our sight is, you will translate every moment of need to the fact that it is money that you need, cash that you need. But no, God is working on an issue here that has nothing to do with money. God is working on an issue here that has nothing to do with defense. God is working on something here that has nothing to do with you being acquitted. God is working on something here that should encourage every form of shame coming towards you. And no, you will still persevere. Jesus in Gethsemane. How many believers are in this state? How many believers are in this state? How many believers are going through pain because of their God-given assignment? But all that Christ needed was that let an angel strengthen him. Especially, I pray for pastors that are in ministry. I tell you, I tell you, I pray for pastors that are in ministry. It is, you know how Jesus, in agony, I always say this, that Jesus, he said, when he came, he said that he's come to do what is written of him in the volumes of the book. And yes, we saw a man in agony to the point that he needed a place of escape. The script needed to be played out so that you and I would know that there is a dimension of your being in the soul that even for your God-given assignment, if you don't fight for it, if you don't fight for it, Hafiz, I've prayed for you. If you don't fight for it, it will give up. Look, and it is not the body. It's not your body that needs strength. It's not your body. So Paul will say that, yes, exercise in the body is good, but it profits what? Exercise in your body is good, but it profits what?
It profited a little.
It profits a little. True Light Ministry members, are you guys not reading your Bible? We need to go back to the basics, mentorship. Guys, you need to read your Bible. Stop the social media. Come up. It is the Bible that will save your soul.
Amen.
Look, have you guys not go to prayer meetings where you bought gum, you took coffee, you took glucosate, you took it and you were sleeping. You drank all that, but you still slept.
Yes.
Stop up. The more you drink the coffee, the more the sleep attacks you like a blanket. Eh? Even if when you do Mr. Ibu Styles, your eyes will still close. Have you not seen that thing happen before?
Yes.
Because there is a light that needs to enter your soul and take that burden and the weight that easily causes you to sleep out. It has to come out. Sometimes you hear people, my bro, I'm tired. Today, I'm tired. Look, you are joking with the effectiveness of your soul. There are a lot of destinies, they will go to the grave. And I'm not saying this because they should go, but it is true. The potential is that a lot of them are being taken to the grave. Why? Because there were souls that failed to fight back. The very few words of Christ was that, not my will, but according to your will. And then, the next moment, the Bible says that an angel came, according to the book of Luke, and strengthened him. And when the angel came and strengthened him, he prayed on. So he did not allow his soul to succumb to the sorrow that is death. No, what you need to understand that Jesus actually tasted death in Gethsemane. So now he said that his soul is sorrowful to the point of death. So it means it was coming. But when the angels strengthened him, he embraced it. And when he embraced death in the soul, it was manifesting in his body as drops of blood that were coming out of his sweat. There is a question Paul asks in the book of Hebrews. He says that, have you resisted sin to the point that you are bleeding? Have you resisted sin to the point that you are bleeding? Have you put a resistance in place so that you will be able to fight to the point that what you want to see God do causes you to bleed? How many of you have wanted to do the will of God so crazy that your body begins to secrete blood because you are ever so determined? Tell me, there is none here, including myself. But you see, yet we easily bow to every form of pressure that seems to affect our divine destiny and assignment. You need a fighting soul. Somebody say, I need a fighting soul.
I need a fighting soul.
And anointing alone does not do this, because this is the man that was anointed, heavily anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. I repeat, Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Yet in Gethsemane, his soul was still a subject of death. But he had to fight. The fighting soul. There are some of you, your soul has given up. It has given up on academics. It has given up on marriage. It's given up on relationships. It's given up on jobs. It's given up on ministry. It's given up on prayer. Some people will say, we pray, sir. I was explaining, let me tell you this. No prayer takes its cause and effect in the moment you pray it. You go around and come back and prove me wrong. It doesn't happen like that. Yes. You would realize that every prayer has a root that is stemmed to a seed that was once planted. No, we human beings, we can't cajole God or tell, like, today you feel like you are on fire, God answer me, and then God will come through and answer. He's too much of a king to be doing those things. You have no idea. But Jesus said that pray so you do not fall into temptation. Prayer can be stored. Prayer can be kept. Like, you can have a storeroom of prayer that is awaiting periods and days of manifestation for the things that are needed in your life. Everybody that is born with a divine assignment that must be fulfilled cannot leave that without prayer. It's impossible. The reason why your soul was weak and you couldn't overcome, whether a trial, whether a temptation, whether something that you went through, whether good or bad, the reason why you couldn't overcome that thing, and overcoming it is not always in the success of it. Look, there are things that happens to people. Immediately they hear the news, they commit suicide. But you didn't commit suicide. There are things that happen to people, but it doesn't make them quit. But you quit. You left. And I want you to understand that the reason why some of you are overcomers and some are not is that there were periods of prayers that needed to be stored. That kicks into a place of action for redemption. Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you ahead of your fall. Where was that prayer? Where was that prayer kept? What was the prayer doing? It was awaiting the revival of... It was awaiting a time and a period where that man would fall and it will revive his soul. So if people tell you that, oh, you are praying, sir, they are lying. They don't know what is ahead of you.
Yes.
You think you want to enter into tongues 1 hour when the accident is happening before you be saved? Don't deceive yourself and don't follow the way of foolish men that are out there in the world that speak anyhow. Let me tell you this. Jesus said it. Men always ought to pray and not faint. It is the final thing. You always ought to pray. There is no substitute for it. You always ought to pray. And it is not a benefit to the body, but it's a benefit to the soul. But once the soul is kept alive, beyond any reasonable doubt, that has the ability to resist everything, I tell you the truth that your body too will be kept alive. Anointing, you go. Let them pour anointing upon your head. It won't save you. People that have received anointing upon their head without a prayerful life, like, it's a nonsense to your soul. It would even make you worse. You will live a very depressed life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must consider the body as good as dead. As far as your living is concerned, you must consider the body as good as dead. Look, your name cannot save you when your appointment of death comes. Your money in your bank account will not save you when it comes. And death and its appointment is not evil. It's something that we would all have to face. It is, in fact, I say that death is one of the most assured and constant thing in this earth. So the reason why death is important to us is that the soul, the passage of the soul from the body to eternal glory is that it goes through the place of death. whether we like it or yes, it will. That is what would happen, please. That is what will happen. You think before Lumba died, if his name can save him, his name would not save him. It doesn't matter his fans. It doesn't matter the money he has available. Nothing will save the man at this appointed time. Look, when we say life is short, we don't say life is short, so we should fool about. Life is short, so we should have the wisdom to prepare for the end of life in this body. And we must take it extremely serious. David was anointed, was he not?
Yes.
And David being anointed meant that he has access to the throne at will. No way.
No.
There was a throne. There was an opposition in the throne. The man was anointed under the leadership of the one he's supposed to succeed. He didn't even try to fight the man. Just in the state of being declared as the anointed one, next, prompted that he comes under the persecution of the one on the throne. And the guy had to fight to live. And he went through seasons of grief, agony, persecutions. Not one, not twice. You speak of David and how God, the way God anointed David, like, anoint me to like that. Anoint me. You want anointing like David? But immediately God raises your soul, you are running away from the battlegrounds. Do you think that if Saul was able to kill Goliath, David's name would have resounded throughout times as we do now? No. There are many unfought battles and challenges men will not be able to overcome, all because the anointing that God has put on your head, he wants your soul to fight those battles. You can't give up today. There is, look, if you give up today and you pass on to glory, God would ask you. And I tell you a mystery today. There is a way God can ask you a question for the things you didn't do. The how your soul will be grieved in the presence of God. It is like all the days of your life on earth. Just asking why you gave up. Just God asking why you gave up. I pray you have certain encounters, you would understand. So go back to the basics. Go back to the books. Go back to the place of prayer. And stop this roller coaster emotional Christianity. Today I get this, tomorrow I don't get that. Don't do that. Because unlike those days, God has given us his spirit, which at every particular point in time is able to empower our soul to do the bidding of God. Do you realize that for Saul, the spirit of God would depart? Anytime the spirit of God depart from Saul, my question for you is that, when the spirit of God had departed from Saul, what was he left with? Oh, it's a general question. When the spirit of God had departed from Saul, what was he left with?
Nothing, just himself.
The flesh.
He was left with his soul and his flesh. I said that in these times, God has given you his spirit, so you can't give up.
Amen.
Jacob, the Bible says that Jacob encountered an angel on Jabbok. And for a very long time, they've told us that Jacob fought with an angel. Let me tell you one truth here. If you read the scriptures carefully, you realize that the Bible says that when the angel saw that it was about daybreak, what did he do?
He touched the hip socket of Jacob and dislocated it.
Thank you. When the battle started, you want to say that Jacob was so strong, he stopped the angel from touching that hip socket?
No.
So all this while that you think that Jacob was very strong physically and they are fighting. Please forget about it. I know that there are some things we said at the early stages of Christianity for our own pride and for our own provocation. And we say that, and that seems to give us some sort of a thing in prayer. And when we say that, because of that, we are standing to pray. And like, please, it wasn't the physical battle. In fact, the angel rather switched into the physical realm of the battle in order to disadvantage Jacob. I tell you this truth today. Initially, the battle was fought against the willingness of Jacob in his soul to hold on to the blessing that has been given him. And that battle was going on in his soul. And in that realm, he was attesting to God that, look, I will not let go of this. It belongs to me. Therefore, change my name and give me what I'm due for. That was what was happening.
Yeah.
It was a soulless battle. It wasn't a wrestle as in, let's see who is strong physically. And then the angel saw that, okay, now it's daybreak, I can't beat him. So what kind of Tom and Jerry story is that? Let me tell you another battle that took place. There was a widow, and the Bible says that widow was fighting with someone that does not fear God nor respect anybody.
Okay.
He seems to be beyond above the law. The widow did not fight this man according to a physical strength of a woman, but the widow fought the man according to the determination of her soul, never giving up to the point that the man grew weary. That was the kind of battle that was happening between Jacob and that angel. Look, your soul can rise up in the presence of God with his spirit, that you do not give up, and your soul can attest to that in the presence of God, that you are not giving up. You must have a fighting soul. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they fight Nebuchadnezzar by strength? In fact, when they were ordered, go and put them in, they were carried like toys. But in their soul, and whenever we speak of the soul, we are speaking of your mind, and we are not speaking of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is a subject of death. Romans chapter 7. We will read that before I bring my preaching to an end. Woman of God, man of God, everybody that is here on the platform, let me tell you this. Don't give up. Don't give up. We grew with a certain kind of spirit that our parents had, our mothers had. Do you think sometimes you wake up and at around 4, they are praying, no pastor is leading them? Are you, phone will ring, post will go up, then with that, you still not wake up. No pastor is leading them. Nobody is giving them even words of encouragement. They are on their knees, toes shatter. They are praying constantly. What dimension of soul determination have they come up to? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, King, we are not careful to answer you. And as for this matter, we won't even toy with, but we will not do it. And even if God will not save us, we still won't bow. Do you know one thing? Satan's confession was proven wrong. He says that a man would give anything for his life. But these men prove that there are men, yeah, even before Christ, that were so determined in their soul that they did not value the life that was in the body.
Yes.
Do we have such men today?
Yeah.
Do we have such women today?
Yes.
Why have you given up? The thing is that people, the reasons people even give up on things is so petty that it's sometimes when you think about it, you realize, can God find any faithful man to do his bidding? I'm depressed. I'm hurt. I feel this. He said this. Why did he say that? Do you know what Satan would do to you when you rise up on certain rungs? Has your mother betrayed you before? Have your father betrayed you before? Have your wife or husband betrayed you before? Has your children betrayed you before? Have you yourself betrayed you before?
Who listened to betray you before?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, look, we can't. We need fighting souls back in the kingdom. We need God to change the mind that we've carried in our soulless realm. So the transformation is that we've been saved. We should journey on the path of transformation. Let me read my last scripture, then we pray for 5 minutes and it will be 5:30 exactly. Romans 7, reading from verse 1. I read, Yada kado shatela babala barabara barabara. He says, do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction to rule over a person as long as he lives. Somebody say, there is a law.
There's a law.
There's a law.
And he gives us example of how the law operates in certain institutions. 2. For the married woman, as an example, is bound and remains bound by the law to her husband whilst he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released and exempt from the law concerning her husband. Accordingly, she will be designated as an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law regarding marriage, so that she is not an adulteress if she marries another man. 4. Therefore, my fellow believers, you too died to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit of God. When we were living in the flesh, trapped by sin, the sinful passions which were awakened, by which the Lord identifies as sin, were at the work in our body to bear fruit for death, since the willingness to sin led to death and separation from God. But now we've been released from the law and its penalty, having died through Christ to that which we were held captive, so that we serve God in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This simple but yet powerful scripture that I've read is telling us that every man that has found Christ have been released from the mind of the flesh.
Amen.
And that the mind of the flesh, which is governed by the law of sin and death, does not work on the believer who has been released, because now that believer has put to death the body on the cross.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now this spiritual, this thing is spiritual and it's also love. When I say spiritual, the principle in which it operates is unseen, but it works. It was God himself who enforces that when you sin you would die, and that works. Mm-hmm. But when Christ had put to death the body on the cross, and we've been regenerated and given the newness of spirit in Christ Jesus, we are no more under that. What would I want to say to you? If you are a believer here, if you begin to live that condescending life, which does not persist and follow after the order of the things of the spirit, what you begin to do is that you begin to awaken a new law in the body. Especially if you are a believer now kobosom, so you will deliver, you go to the fetish, you go and seek all these mediums and that. What you begin to do is that you begin to awaken the life of the flesh and the mind of the flesh, and it will dominate over you. But I tell you, do not allow any hardship to dominate over you.
Amen.
Don't. You haven't bled yet resisting evil. You haven't. So do your best. You won't fail. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Wherever you have gone, whatever you have done, in the place of sin, in the place of engagement with sin, it is not the end. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus is able to buy us through and through. Have a fighting soul, accept Christ and come back. You know, we have been saying this for some time now, that we easily make this statement that the enemy, he has sold his soul to the devil. Look, the price of your soul, you can't sell it to the devil. And any transaction that has taken place that looks like your soul has been sold to the devil is deception. If we take it to the court of heavens, Satan will seize you. Satan has defrauded you. Your soul cannot be bought. He doesn't have the purchasing capacity to buy your soul. But rather, he has deceived you into thinking that you are bound to him forever. Let the light of Christ liberate you, because Satan can never buy your soul. I don't care who you are and what you have done with him. He can't buy your soul. It is a deception from the pit of hell for you not to look back and think that there is a savior that can redeem you. But there is an eternal purchasing power, which is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He says that even the lawful captive shall be delivered. It has the ability to buy you and liberate you and redeem you under any sphere of engagement, be it in the court, be it military, be it money, be it wealth. The blood has the ability to redeem you. All dimensions of redemption, it has the ability to redeem you. So do not stay in your sin. Do not stay wherever you think you are and say that you are gone. You've been given over to Satan, so you can never come back. It is a blatant lie from the pit of hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. I want us to pray. That the Cuffis lady, are you here?
Amen.
Cuffis. She wrote that we should pray for her. I think she's not here. I want us to lift up your voice and begin to pray for a moment. Your soul. Acting highly spiritual with a weak soul is only a matter of time. It will reveal who you truly are. Acting calm and collected with a weak soul, it's only a matter of time. Somebody will provoke you. We will see your true color. I say, hey, is that how he is? Hey. Calm waters, but raging under. We are praying in the mighty name of Jesus. I am not the bearer. Cuffis. Am I pronouncing the name correct? You put a message there that we should pray for you. Are you there? We want to pray for you. Cuffis. Is it Cuffis or Cuffis or Cuffis? I want to pray for you.
Cuffy, Marianne. Cuffy is my Kenyan name.
Okay. And Marianne,
yes,
okay.
But my first name is Marianne.
Marianne, okay. We will be praying for you, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. You're also from Kenya. Probably Pastor Lord's friend. Hallelujah. Amen. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Guys, I don't carry your soul. I'm not the bearer of your soul.
Yes.
But I've come with an eternal light that has the ability to illuminate your soul.
Amen.
And
Amen.
to set you free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Nam, I want you to lead this session. We are going to pray for the next 10 minutes. It's Saturday. Let's give ourselves some time in the presence of God. We are praying about our souls. We're praying. Any leaders, any form of bondage that causes us to give up. We saw the thing that our Savior went through. But before, let me pray for Cafes. Cafes, I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever you are, where are you?
I'm in America.
I know, but where are you? As in right now, are you sitting, working? What are you doing?
I'm in my living room. I'm off today. I'm in my living room.
Okay. I'm praying for you. So put your hands on your forehead.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for Marianne. Tonight, let her have a light encounter in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, amen. In her room, let there be a prevailing light that brings glory. That brings glory, liberation in the name of Jesus. Every weight upon your head, I repeat, in the name of Jesus, let it be lifted in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, amen. Thank you. Every weight. In the mighty name of Jesus, be lifted tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Amen. Azov for Wisdom, please carry on with us.
Yes, sir. In the name of Jesus, we are lifting our voice to pray.
Please don't forget my message. Let me read that. Go on.
The Bible makes us understand that, and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. I want us to lift our voice and ask for strength and ask for grace, that the Lord will install into us something strange, something heavy, that will empower us to overcome every form of circumstance, that will empower us to overcome every form of challenge in our business, in our career, over our marital lives, over our businesses, in the mighty name of Jesus. Please lift your voice and begin to pray. Fight back
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we shall keep up in this valley in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Most of the times, when we study scripture, you understand that whenever there is a situation that is about to come, anybody that is about to approach that situation, that is a true son of God, the first thing he'll begin to ask himself is that, what will God do in this situation?
Jesus.
What will God do in this situation? The Bible says that the Lord shall arise and his enemies will be scattered.
Oh, Lord.
There is no circumstance that should be greater than you, because you carry solutions to every situation. We are lifting our voice. We are praying. Anything that would rise above our soul, that would make our souls weary.
Oh, Lord.
Any situation that would come as a stumbling block for me manifesting my inheritance in God, I rise up and I overcome. In the name of Jesus. I rise up and I overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are going to double our prayer point and commit anyone that is feeling sick, anyone that is sick, anyone that is ill. We are committing them into the hands of the Lord. That as we are praying to overcome situations, overcome challenges, we pray by the blood of Jesus, they overcome any health issue in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Please lift your voice and begin to pray.
Our time is up, but there is a present. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a present. Theo, is that caused by you? Theo, are you there? Is that caused? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that caused with you? We're praying. We're using a top prayer point to pray for ourselves and pray for our cause as well. The soul is very sensitive. A man that is dead in his spirit does not have an awakened soul. Yes. This is why the Bible says that You know, he used the term, the things that are spiritual, the carnal man does not understand. Does that mean that the man does that carnal man has only body? No, he has body and soul. But the thing is that he doesn't have a revived spirit that would allow his soul to receive things from the spirit.
Mm.
Hallelujah. But those of us that are awakened have consciousness in the soul because of the Spirit of God, the quickening spirit that he has given us. We are able to anticipate forms, every kinds and diverse forms of danger, and because of that, lift up standards of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we are going to pray for a cause. We are praying for a standard. We're lifting up a standard against any form of ill health problem that she has, attack against her health.
Amen.
Our accords cannot be down because of sickness.
Amen.
Amen. I repeat, our accords cannot be down because of sickness.
Amen.
It's impossible. Amen.
Amen.
We are praying for her.
Amen.
That let the strength in her soul be revived.
Amen.
Luke 22:43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. I was at work one time and there was a lady, an elderly woman that called me. Very noble. She called me straight away and was like, "Pa," I said, "Yes, auntie." Says, "I'm in trouble." So I was like, "What can I do?" I even forgot myself that I'm a minister. I said, "What can I do?" She says, "Pray for me." I was shocked because the relationship she has with me, I never expected that she would ever call me to solicit prayers. So straight away, I gave her this scripture, Luke 22:43. I said, some of God's present help the ministry of angels.
Amen.
And in this situation that you are in, God says, I should tell you that he's sending angels to your assistance.
Amen.
Amen.
To open the scriptures and begin to pray and know that whatever is causing you fear and terror, whatever is causing you grief and agony, our Lord Jesus went through it.
Hallelujah.
And it took an angel to strengthen his soul.
Amen.
So let us pray. And in that moment, every weight that was upon her was lifted.
Hallelujah.
We want to pray this. You might pray it for yourself, but we are praying it for our sister Akos once again. Spending only about 2 minutes. Akos, we pray for you. And even as we are praying for you, we're praying for everybody here once again, that let there be divine strength for us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let there be angelic ministration for us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to pray in Jesus' mighty name. There is a groaning. Lift up your voice and pray. I'm going to go to the hospital. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you for such a wonderful time. Next month is always almost here. Hallelujah. We're making plans to have certain prayer services or Bible services on Sunday, and we will communicate that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God bless you. Don't give up. Tell your soul not to give up.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Tell your soul not to give up. Even in divine assignment, there is no assignment that is given to any of us that is easier to handle. And don't let anybody lie to you. If it's from God, it will be this. If it's from God, it will be that. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful night, and we will see you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.